Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. Of course, this is your special New Year's Eve show, which will last about an hour and a half. However, in the future, I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous rich gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaskan mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your more favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality. And of course, that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry, gold, and goldsmithing service. That means that they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystals that, sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, folks, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. We're going to have some fun today, folks. In just a few minutes, we're going to meet today's guest, Roy Larson, a true Alaskan pioneer, and of course, the man who started Larson's Jewelry in 1946. But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that, of course, is our Frontier History Quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, we'll win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Now listen, folks. Last week you heard the Christmas story of the Iditarod Gold Rush by Tony Gallardi. For a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner, what year was the discovery made that sparked the Iditarod Gold Rush? And by the way, while we're waiting for the phone to ring, I want to thank the folks over there at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe for providing the weekly prize of dinner for two on Alaska Gold Trails. You all know where Laura's is, right across from the Daily News Miner. Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. And folks, during this festive season, I want to remind you and the folks at Golden Nugget Taxi want to remind you, for safe transportation, give them a call at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI, an easy number to remember. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. And I see we've got a line. So let's see what's if we have an answer to our quiz. Hello, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails.
1921?
No, ma'am, I'm sorry. You're off about a decade or a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Okay, once again, our frontier history quiz was, what year was the discovery made that sparked the Iditarod Gold Rush? And while we're waiting, we have some messages, we have some answers, and we have a calendar of events. I hope my friend Ed Sisson is listening. Ed, I was, if you recall last week, I was having a great deal of difficulty getting through on Oxford's quote line. However, during the show, our friend John Mann called and confirmed your value of $6.80 for silver on December 24th. That means you've won a full exterior car wash valued at $15 from Rusty over there at Fairbanks Auto Care, located at 707 Old Steese Highway. So, Ed, if you'll stop up here and pick up your certificate at the KFAR studio located in Washington Plaza, you can go over there to Rusty and get your car taken care of. And, by the way, John Mann, thank you for the information. You can also stop up here at KFAR studio in Washington Plaza and pick up a certificate for a free 1-ounce silver Oxford ingot at Oxford. And thanks for the help on that, men. And we've got the lines lit up here. Let's see what's going on. Hello, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails. Hello, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails. Hello, you're on the air.
Is it 1905?
Close, but not quite, ma'am. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we had one other question last week, and I'm sorry to say that the question was, what is the relation between Troy pounds and Avoirdupois pounds? And I forgot one of the correlations that we commonly use, and that was grains. It seems that in an ounce of Avoirdupois, there are 437.5 grains, while in an ounce Troy, there are 480 grains. However, in a pound of Avoirdupois, there are 16 Avoirdupois ounces, and in a pound Troy, there are 12 Troy ounces. So when we add them up, we find, and the question was, what's the relation between weighing precious metals per pound as compared to weighing potatoes per pound? And the answer, of course, is that a pound of potatoes weighs more than a troy pound of precious metals. So, and the relation here is that an Avoirdupois pound is 1.2 troy pounds. So I want to thank the caller for that particular question. We've got the lines lit up again. Let's see if we can get an answer to our frontier quiz. Hello, you're on the air.
Is it 1906?
You're getting closer, but not quite. Thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
It's 1907.
We're getting awful close, but not quite, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Hello, this is Alaska Gold Trails. You're on the air.
Is it 1914?
No, we passed it up.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, 1910.
Well, we're bracketing it into place there, but we're not quite on target. Thank you very much for the call.
You betcha.
Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. You're on the air.
Hi, was it Christmas Day, 1908?
You got it. Hi, how are you? Thanks for the call, and what is your name?
My name is Kathy Chisholm.
Kathy?
Yes.
Well, Kathy, how do you spell your last name?
It is C-H-I-S-H-O-L-M.
Okay, remember Tony Gagliardi said it was on Christmas Day, 1908. And Kathy, if you'll stop up here at the KFAR studio in Washington Plaza and pick up your certificate, it's good for a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe.
Hey, that's great. That's exciting. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, thank you for the calls, folks. And we've got a winner. It, once again, the date was 1908. And finally, we have here, we've given our answer to the conversion of gold to potatoes. We have one more call here. Let me just answer this. Hello, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails.
Oh, I was going to say 1908, too. But
oh, my goodness, you're a little bit late, but yeah. I'll tell you what. You want to stop over to Alaskan Prospectors and pick up a little piece of Alaska plaster gold, that'll be just fine.
Okay.
Hey, and by the way, while I'm on that, it just dawned on me that the folks at Alaska Prospectors over there at 504 College Road just told me that they will be closed, as a matter of fact, until the 29th of February.
Oh.
And they'll be reopened for the season. So,
a little vacation.
Got a little vacation. Well, thanks for the call, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks much.
Bye.
Finally, we have a calendar of events. The University of Alaska Mining Extension, of course, will be beginning their second semester of mining extension classes. These, of course, are the prospecting and mining classes for the beginners. And although some of the classes have a prerequisite, most don't require any background, and all you have to have then is a general interest in the Earth's hidden treasures. And of course, then everyone is welcome. Some of the classes that they'll be having on February 17th, they'll be having a map interpretation class for the prospector, and that'll go hand in hand with the March 21st class on rock and mineral identification. And simultaneously, they'll be having the beginning class on basic prospecting, which is perhaps one of the finest classes that they offer through the Mining Extension Program. On April 12th, they'll be having geophysical prospecting. April 14th, field mapping. And for those of you who want a quick mini course in gold prospecting, now write this down. On May 13th, they'll have a 3-day course on gold prospecting. And this is one of the more exciting classes that is provided by the Mining Extension Program. This 3-day course is approximately 10 hours, 9 to 10 hours of lecture and a full-day field trip, which is a lot of fun. You'll really enjoy it. And once again, if you need some more information on that, of course, you can contact me, Jim Madonna, at the Mining Extension School of Mineral Engineering at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. And the phone number is 474-7702. And we have a flood of these phone numbers. Let's see, 474-7366. And finally, 456-2569. So you'll get me one of those numbers, and we'll get you some more information regarding these mining extension classes that are coming up in this semester. Anyway, that concludes our calendar of events. And right now, I'd like to introduce you to Roy Larson, who is sitting right across from me. Hello, Roy. How are you today?
Pretty good, Dim.
Well, it's nice to have you here. I finally got you on the show. And Roy, I'd like to know, and I'm sure the listening audience would like to know, about how it was that you, and when you came to Alaska. Where were you born, Roy?
I was born in Granite Falls, Washington, in 1914, on the longest day of the year. And then we moved into Everett, Washington, and I went to the University of Washington to school and was taking mining engineering there.
And what prompted you to go into mining engineering? Was there something that stimulated you?
Well, when I was in high school, I took a carpentry class, and we built a house for a man named Roy Gregory, and he was involved with a group in mining up in the Caribou district in Canada, up the Caribou River.
Uh-huh. That was a pretty hot placer and load mining area for gold, wasn't it, Roy?
It was real good. They had one pair of miners up there that just sluiced 30 days a year, and they 30 days a year they would clean off for next year's run, and that's all they worked all year, and they had their gold in fruit jars up behind the fruit in the in their cabin.
That was quite a common occurrence in the early days, these fruit jars full of gold in the cabin. And it was this fellow then that sparked your interest in mining, was it?
Yes, he became a very good friend, and for several years I was real close with him and talked gold mining and rock hounding and that sort of thing.
So then you went to the university there in Washington for, what, a year and a half about?
Well, it was a little longer than that. It was, I was just short of being a junior standing when I came to Alaska. And I'd had to take too many no-credit courses.
And when did you come to Alaska? What was the sequence of events that led to your ultimate departure from the Washington area?
Well, I was going to school there, and there were, in 39, there was no mining in Washington. And in order to get some experience, well, I wanted to get into some kind of mining operation, and it seemed like the only thing available was Alaska. So my girlfriend, who was a nurse at the Swedish hospital, we'd go around on weekends and talk to people from Alaska, and we met a Mrs. Collins who told us that the thing to do was to come to Alaska, and that it was a young man's country, and that whether we went to mining or not, if we were willing to work, we could make it in Alaska.
Then Mrs. Collins had spent some time up here in Alaska.
Yes, she had been secretary to Judge Bunnell out at the university.
Oh, I'll be darned. And so she suggested you come to Alaska, and tell me about the actual departure.
Well, that our final decision was on a Tuesday. I took the opportunity then to marry my girlfriend on Thursday, and I left her on Saturday.
And did you take her with you?
No, I didn't. I left her in Seattle.
You married her on Thursday, yeah. And you left on Saturday, and you left her in Seattle.
Yeah.
And
that
was nice.
Came up on the old Aleutian, and I came up steerage. It cost $40 to go from Seattle to Seward, and we were in bunks, seven high bunks down there in the hold of the ship, you know. And
oh, that was steerage.
That was steerage.
Okay, what was the difference between steerage and regular, coming up the regular way?
Well, the regular way, you've had cabins up on the deck, and they fed you pretty good food. Coming steerage, they fed you reasonably good food till you got to the sound, and then they fed you salt pork and lima beans with lots of grease in it. Consequently, it was the odor was not too good down there in steerage, and the best bunk was the top one.
For obvious reasons.
Yes.
A lot of people got sick riding the bottom of the boat.
Lots of them.
And did you have your experience at that as well, Roy?
I had a little experience, but I got up clear up on the bow of the ship, and when we come across the groundswells, when we'd go down, I would take a deep breath, and when we'd come up, I would heave, and it was just like a stomach pump. Very easy, no problem at all.
Look, Roy, I want to, you say you came up on the ship, and what was the name of the ship again?
The Aleutian.
The Aleutian. You came up on the Aleutian to Seward then.
Yes.
Well, I want to talk about how you got to Fairbanks from Seward right after a couple of these messages from our fine sponsors. First of all, folks, I want to talk about B&L Pond at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, which is, as I said before, the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer. You just never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Now I want to tell you about our friends over at Arctic Springs. Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and Alaskan labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications. And listen to this. They can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Springs handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at some of the items they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and of course, Weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or your sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. And for you plaster miners, ask Bob over there what special service he might have for you. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. I'm here today with Roy Larson, and if any of you folks out there would have a question for Roy, feel free to give us a call. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Roy, we were talking about coming up on the Aleutian and Finally, the land trip after you left the ship. What method of travel did you use from Seward to Fairbanks then?
Well, we came on the Alaska Railroad, but it was a two-day trip. We stopped over in Curry for overnight, and the rich people like myself, we slept in the chair in the in the hotel lobby, and then came on the next day to Fairbanks. We stopped at Healy for dinner, for lunch, before we came on through. But
and so then after arriving in Fairbanks, what time of year was that, by the way?
That was the around the 20th of April.
On the 20th of April, you arrived in, about the 20th of April, you arrived in Fairbanks. So spring was on its way, and what was Fairbanks like when you arrived here, Roy?
Well, the way I recall it, there were about 1,500 to 2,000 people in Fairbanks at that time. During the summer, the population would increase quite a bit, and in the winter it would go down probably to around 1,200.
And the activity was just starting to begin there? The summer activity was starting to begin at that
yes.
time?
Well, all the activity here at the time was mining.
Uh-huh.
The only military we had in Fairbanks at that time, there were 13 GIs in the ACS, the Alaska Signal Corps. And They didn't have a uniform between the 13 of them.
I see.
Just more people.
I see. So no, not much military and a lot of mining activity. Well, Roy, after we're going to take a break here for a few special messages, and right after the news at 2 o'clock, we'll be back, and we want to hear about your adventures in mining and going to school here in the Fairbanks area. Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this, folks. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicle ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. We'll be right back after news, ladies and gentlemen. This is KFAR 660 on your radio dial. In Fairbanks, Alaska. Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications, and mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit just waiting there for you placer miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432.
See your Buick dealer now.
Yeah, the great American road. The great American road belongs to Buick.
The great American road
belongs to Buick.
The great American road.
In Latin America, one of Colombia's biggest cocaine smugglers has been released from prison, and that's gotten the U.S. State Department's dander up. Some Colombian officials say the prison director who let the drug lord go will be fired. Are you ready for 1988? A lot of you will be going out tonight. Some will be paying hundreds of dollars for dinner and entertainment. Others will be staying home for a quiet New Year's. As usual, state troopers will be out in force on the lookout for drunk drivers around the country. As for 1987, it'll be remembered as the year the stock market took the plunge and the year the world became a little bit safer with the signing of that U.S.-Soviet arms treaty. And one more thing, we're about to gain some time, literally. The world's timekeepers are about to add an extra second. More if maybe sees John Bascom.
In a perfect world, a day would last 86,400 seconds, but the Earth turns a little slower than that, and so today we have 86,401 seconds. The man in charge of expanding time at the Naval Observatory is Dr. Gernot Winkler.
Today is not exactly 86,400 seconds long, as measured on the atomic clock. There's an excess in a moment of a little bit more than 1 millisecond. That accumulates in 2.5 years to roughly 1 second, and that's the adjustment which you make.
At 7 p.m. Eastern Time today, 4 o'clock on the West Coast, the second hand on the nation's atomic clock will tick an extra tock.
The last minute of that year will have 61 seconds.
John Bascom, ABC News, Washington.
Okay, wait a minute. New Year's Eve is often icy and snowy in much of the country, but the weather tonight should be pretty good in many areas, except for northern Minnesota and eastern North Dakota, where a blizzard has reduced visibility to near zero. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones lost a little today, down about 11 points, but note that the Dow Jones ended the year about where it was at the start of 1987. It's hard to believe, isn't it? It stood at 1896 last January 1st and is now at 1939. Very close, but analysts say the market is living in the shadow of October 19th, the day the market lost 508 points. This is ABC News.
A mid-range computer can be a company's bread and...